But we will take the translation from our Sampradaya because that is how we have understood it and that's how our spiritual masters understood it. So like that. So it's very important that we understand the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So today's verse is from the 10th chapter. So the chapter is Opulence of the Absolute. It talks about Krishna's Aishwarya, what is Krishna's opulence, what is Krishna's vaibhav, what is the majesty of Krishna. Why is it important for us to know that? Because, first of all, to appreciate somebody as great, you need to know how they are great. If I come and tell you, so and so person is great, you might think, how is he great? You know, he just looks like an ordinary man. But when you speak about the person, what he has done, how rich is he, what is he achieved, how much of a following he has, then you'll get some appreciation. So like that, Krishna speaks about his own opulence here. Right? You cannot understand Krishna. We cannot really fully comprehend Krishna. Prabhupada repeatedly makes that comment here in the 10th chapter, that we can understand Krishna if Krishna himself reveals himself to us. Right? So that's the best way to understand Krishna. So today's verse is 10:34. Last week we read 10:33. I'll just recap that verse. अक्षराणाम अकारोऽस्मि द्वंद्व समासिकस्य च अहम् एवाक्षय कालो दाताहम् विश्वतो मुख. Of letters I am the letter A, and among compound words I am the dual compound. I am also inexhaustible time, and of creators I am Brahma. So Krishna speaks about all of his opulence here. Why is Krishna speaking about all his opulence here? Arjuna was already convinced that Krishna is the Lord. This is Krishna speaking for the benefit of the audience. How Krishna is great, what are his opulence, so we can begin to appreciate, wow, Krishna is so great. You know, and all this is just a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of his power. What to speak, what is his complete power? It's inconceivable. So here this verse, this is a very famous verse. So the 10th chapter also contains the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, which is the four essential verse of the Bhagavad Gita. So it's important that we read and understand the 10th chapter. Today's verse is text 34. So kindly repeat after me. मृत्यु सर्व हरश्चाहम्
मृत्यु सर्व हरश्चाहम्
उद्भवश्च
भविष्यताम् उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्
इति श्रीवाच्य नारीणाम्
इति श्रीवाच्य नारीणाम्
स्मृतिर्मेधातृतिक्षमाः मृत्यु सर्व हरश्चाहम्
मृत्यु सर्व हरश्चाहम्
उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्
उद्भवश्च
इति श्रीवाच्य नारीणाम्
इति श्रीवाच्य नारीणाम्
स्मृतिर्मेधातृतिक्षमाः
मृत्यु
सर्व हरश्चाहम्
मृत्यु सर्व हरश्चाहम्
उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्
उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्
इति श्रीवाच्य नारीणाम्
इति श्रीवाच्य नारीणाम्
स्मृतिर्मेधातृतिक्षमाः
स्मृतिर्मेधातृतिक्षमाः
मृत्यु Devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Kindly repeat after me. I am all devouring death.
I am all devouring death.
And I am the generating principle.
I am the generating principle
of all that is yet to be.
Among women,
I am fame, fortune,
fine speech,
memory,
intelligence,
steadfastness,
and patience.
I am all devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Purport. As soon as a man is born, he dies at every moment. Thus, death is devouring every living entity at every moment. But the last stroke is called death itself. That death is Krishna. As for future development, all living entities undergo six basic changes. They are born, they grow, they remain for some time, they reproduce, they dwindle, and finally they vanish. Of these changes, the first is deliverance from the womb, and that is Krishna. The first generation is the beginning of all future activities. The seven opulences listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. Sanskrit is a perfect language and is therefore very glorious. If after studying one can remember a subject matter, he is gifted with a good memory or smriti, and the ability not only to read many books on different subject matters, but to understand them and apply them when necessary is intelligence, medha. Another opulence. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness or steadfastness. And when one is fully qualified, yet is humble and gentle, and when one is able to keep his balance both in sorrow and in ecstasy of joy, he has the opulence called patience, shama. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Sadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajiva Sadvaitam Sahabhutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikaranta Radha Kanchana Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavane Shobhana Sute Devi Pranamani Hare Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Tamam Krishna Goswami Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Kshaline Nirvishesha Shunyavani Sashyasya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravani Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 I am all devouring death and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness and patience. So Krishna talks about earlier chapter that he is also the inexhaustible time. So time is very much part of death. So the moment we are born, there's death, right? Why? The body is continuously dying actually. Because the constant changes happening in the body. Anything which doesn't last is dying. Everything is dying. Even this wood is actually dying. Even though you might say, oh, there's no soul in it. But it's constantly deteriorating. So therefore this material world is known as Mrityuloka. Everything, the signature of this material world is death. Right? Everything is dying. So but this material world is not false, it's temporary. You can't say it's false. The Mayavadis, they say that Brahma Satyam Jagat Nityam. They say this world is false. But the Vaishnava philosophy is not that. The Vaishnava philosophy is Brahma Satyam, but this Jagat is not Nityam, it's temporary. So just like a cloud goes over our head, it temporarily is there and then it moves on. You cannot say that the cloud is false. It moves on. So this material world is temporary. So to say that this material world is false is actually an insult to Krishna. It is. And actually this material world is also complete. Because in the Gita Upanishad says, Om Purnam Idam Purnam Adat Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. So this material world is complete because Krishna has created this world and provided everything necessary for this living entities to survive. He's given them food, he's given them oxygen, he's given them water, he's given them the material education. He even sent so many devotees to claim us back to the spiritual world. So this material world is complete. To say that the material world is incomplete, well, one can argue, but there's no Vaikuntha in this world. But the fact that the devotees are moving around this world makes this place also Vaikuntha. So it is our vision. It is our vision with which we see the world. If we see the world as incomplete, it is our own deficiency. It is not Krishna's deficiency. But for there's death in this world, one can say, but you know, the spiritual world there's no death. But a devotee also sees death as welcome, as something auspicious in this world. Because for a devotee, when he dies, he goes on to take, he may go back to the spiritual world, or Krishna willing, he will come back again to serve Krishna. So there's nothing lacking in this world. If there's anything lacking, is that there's lack of Krishna consciousness in this world. Therefore, Krishna puts his devotees in this world to make everybody Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada came to this world, the spiritual masters come to this world to spread the glory of Krishna. So, therefore, Prabodhananda Saraswati says that this material world is also Vaikuntha, because Krishna's name is chanted. Whenever Krishna's name is chanted, he is there. So the duty of the devotee is to spread the glories of Krishna. So Krishna says, I am all devouring death. So death is something which we cannot escape in this world. Every moment there's death. As we are speaking now, as we are hearing the Bhagavad Gita, the thousands of people who are dying. By the time I complete this statement, there's already 1,000 people dead all over the world. Maybe even more. I don't know the statistics. In Singapore, probably already few people died while I'm speaking. So death is the signature of this world. And why is there death? Death is to awaken us. Right? Maharaj Yudhisthira says, what is the most amazing thing in this world? He was asked, Yamaraj asked him, what is the most amazing thing in this world? What did Yudhisthira Maharaj, who is a great devotee, well, how did he reply? Anybody can answer that? He says, everybody sees people dying around them, but they are not convinced that they will die one day. This is most amazing. Right? You all know the story of Lord Buddhadev, Siddharth. When his father tried to shelter him, right, he didn't want to bring him out because there was an astrological prediction that Siddharth will leave the kingdom and become a great saintly person and he will renounce everything. So the father didn't want that to happen, so he sheltered his son from everything. He didn't want the son to go out and find out that there's birth, there's death, there's old age, there's disease. So when he walked out of the kingdom, he saw a very old person. Then he asked the minister, what is this? Oh, this is an old person. He said, what does it mean to be old? He said, all of us have to become old. Oh, really? Huh. Then he goes and he sees a sick person. Then he says, what is happening to this person? Oh, this person has got a disease. He said, what does disease mean? Oh, disease is just when the body cannot function properly, in your state you have a disease. So will that also happen to me? Say, yes, it will also happen to you. Then he saw a person dead. Say, why is this person not moving? Say, there's no more life in this body. So what does it mean? He said, this body, the soul leaves the body and what is left is the body. without mind. So then also happened to me? Yes. Then he says, then what's the use of me being staying in the kingdom? I might as well go and try to find the solution to the problem of this material body. So it is meant to awaken us. Death is meant to awaken us to the purpose of life. So this material world is meant to awaken us. It's not for us to enjoy. Anybody who's intelligent will be awakened by this material world. Why? Because there's Janma, there's Mrityu, there's Jara, and there's Vyadi. Everything we do in this world, we try to be happy and try to find permanent happiness, but constantly in the background, we know that whatever we have in this world is not eternal. It's temporary. We receive news, oh, our relative has died. We receive news, oh, my relative has got a stroke. We receive news, oh, my relative is very sick. We receive news, oh, a child is born. So constantly there's a reminder. And then there's heat, there's cold, there's happiness, there's distress. So this world is full of duality. The same child is born, gives great happiness to the parents, but the same child when he dies becomes so much distress to the parents. So this world is full of duality. And all this is to awaken us. Awaken us to understand what is the purpose of life. So Krishna's energy of death, this death is very, very powerful, cannot escape death. Nobody can escape death. Even Lord Brahma has to accept death. In Satya Loka, in Brahma Loka, they live for billions and trillions of years, but still this anxiety of death is there. Only in Vaikuntha this anxiety of death is not there. That is Sanatana. So, the spiritual world is such chit and ananda, this material world is asat, achit and nirananda. So, but a devotee will see that how I can use this world in the service of Krishna. So this world cannot be rejected. Like the Mayavadis, they reject this world. Neti, 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 neti. This is how they come to the truth. The Mayavadis' process of finding out the truth is, they'll say, oh, is this Brahman? No, this is not Brahman. So I reject this. Neti. Is this Brahman? No. Neti. Is this Brahman? Neti. So imagine how many things they must have reject. What is the success they will find Brahman? Very unlikely. Whereas the Vaishnava's thing is, no, this is Krishna's energy. I can use this in Krishna's seva. This is Krishna's energy. I can use this in Krishna's seva. This paper, I can print books about Krishna. And here we have the Bhagavad Gita. This metal, I can use this in Krishna's seva. I can play this and glorify Krishna. So this is the Vaishnava philosophy. It's a far superior philosophy. So that way you don't have to reject anything in this world. Even death is not rejected. Right? Death is used for preaching. The only thing, one thing cannot be used in Krishna's service. What is that? Everything can be used in Krishna's service. What is the only thing, one, which cannot be used in Krishna's service? Envy. If you are envious of someone, you cannot use that in Krishna's service. But if you are greedy, you can change that for greed to Krishna. If you are lusty, you can use that in service of Krishna. Like the gopis, they were lusty after Krishna. And they are the greatest devotees. But if you are envious of Krishna, you can't. That's not considered favorable to Krishna. Anukulya sankalpam pratikulya vivarjanam. Anything which is favorable, you accept. Anything which is unfavorable, you reject. So death is also favorable to the devotee, actually. But to the non-devotee, it's not favorable. Like a cat, right? The cat, the mother cat lifts the kitten, grabs the neck of the kitten and saves the kitten from danger. That's like death for the Vaishnava. The mouth of death, you know, it grabs the kitten and puts in a safe place. But for the non-devotee, the death is like the mouth of a cat for a mouse. It's very fearful. So that's the difference. Death for a devotee is very favorable. So therefore Kulashekhar Alwar sings in front of Krishna, he says, Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Pancharantam Advaiva Vishatume Manasa Rajahansa Pranaprayana Samai Kapavada Pitto Kantavaroda Vinado Smaranam Kutaste. He sings, Krishna, while my mind is functioning properly, while I can fix my mind on your lotus feet, let the royal swan of my mind be entangled, just like the swan, they entangle themselves in the stem of the lotus. They play in the lotus, the swans, when they play in the lotus, they entangle themselves, their neck around the stem of the lotus. So Kulashekhar Alwar sings, let the royal swan of my mind be entangled in the stem of your lotus feet, because while my mind is healthy, when at the time of death, the kapha, vata and pitta will choke me and I may not be able to remember you, Krishna. So let me leave my body right now while my mind is still attached to your lotus feet. So a devotee is not fearful of death. So but the different grades of devotees, we are not convinced that we are not this body, then we are fearful of death. So we have to be convinced that I am not this body, I am spirit soul, I am the servant of Krishna, and that's my eternal identity. When we come to that conviction, when we come to that nishtha, then there's no fear of death. So therefore, a saintly person, when he sees somebody dying and somebody living, he's not affected. He doesn't lament for the living, neither does he lament for the dead. They say in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Why? He knows, because this person is not the body. Only the body is left behind. The soul is gone on to another place. So death, mrityu, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. So Krishna is the generating principle. So birth is also an opulence of Krishna. Death is an opulence of Krishna. So the six changes which the living entity goes through, what are the six changes? When a child is born, what are the changes? Or when a seed sprouts into a plant, what are the six changes? It is born, then it grows, it maintains for some time, it gives some byproduct, then it dwindles, then it dies. Right? So those are the six changes. And Krishna is identified, the opulence of Krishna is identified as birth. So Krishna has so many opulence. So when somebody dies, it is a very moving experience. If you go to a funeral, it's a very moving experience, because when you go to a funeral, people become very sober. They leave all their mischief outside. When they go to a funeral, it's a very sober thing. They think, wow, this person has died. This may happen to me. So that is Krishna's influence. When somebody dies, you start thinking. That's a saying, when somebody goes to the cemetery, he becomes sober, but when he goes back home, he forgets. So, death is an opulence of Krishna, it makes us sober. And birth is also an opulence of Krishna, it makes us happy. When a child is born, there's great happiness. So Krishna's opulence like that is present everywhere. Krishna says that I am the taste of water, right? Think about it, when you are extremely thirsty, let's say you are doing Nirjala Ekadasi, somebody comes and gives you a cup of the sweetest honey, would you want to drink it? Not very likely. But when somebody comes and gives you some nice chilled water, that is the nectar at that time. So Krishna is the taste of water. Rasoham apsu, Krishna says that I am the taste of water. When we are thirsty, water is the most nectarian thing. If I'm thirsty, somebody comes and gives me some jalebi, I'm not very keen. Or some rasgulla, some gulab jamun, no, I want water. When you taste water, it is such nectar. So this is also an opulence of Krishna. Prabhupada, once one devotee said to Prabhupada, if somebody is drinking, can they use in Krishna's service? Somebody is drinking liquor. If that person while drinking liquor thinks, wow, this taste is so good, this is the taste. So he makes advancement. Prabhupada said that. So, so even if a drunkard, when he tastes some wine or some liquor, some beer, and he thinks, wow, this is the taste of Krishna, he still benefited. Krishna is so magnanimous. Krishna is so embracing. He gives us every opportunity to come to Him. So you cannot say that Krishna is cruel, Krishna has thrown us in this material world. We came here by our own will. There's nothing, no fault of Krishna. Right? Like if the son leaves the home, can we be very upset with the father? The father holds the child back, but the child leaves home. You cannot be upset with the father. It's not the father's fault. So birth is also an opulence of Krishna. Then Krishna goes on to mention, Kirti Sri Vakshanari Nam Smritir Medha Dhritikshama. So among women, I am famed. Fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness and patience. So Prabhupada comments that the seven opulences listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness and patience, are considered feminine. So we see that women are generally endowed with good qualities. A cultured woman is endowed with all these qualities. A woman becomes famous by her submission, by her gentle behavior, by her shyness. Prabhupada says that a woman, if she is shy, she can attract any man. So when we see nowadays, you know, you will see in the TV, women practically dancing half naked. That is not attractive. Actually, that's very disgusting. When a woman is shy, she becomes very attractive to a man. So therefore, in those Vedic times, the women were taught to be very, very shy. They have to have this quality. Because when women are shy, it's very, a man will not feel like exploiting them. When a woman is very loose, then man will feel like exploiting them. So that is also a opulence of women. A woman becomes famous. So fame is actually the feminine quality. Fortune. A woman is considered a good woman is considered the goddess of fortune in Vedic culture. Therefore, a woman has to be dressed appropriately. She has to look very auspicious. So when somebody sees, it looks like they are looking at the goddess of fortune. It's very scientific. When a man comes home, if the woman is miserable, it just destroys his whole happiness. But when a man comes home, the woman is smiling, she dressed very nicely, with a very auspicious face, the man immediately gets reminded, oh, this is fortune for me. And a woman has to be endowed with fine speech. She speaks very pleasingly. So therefore, when you see the gopis, when they speak to Krishna, it's very pleasing to Krishna. Even though sometimes they insult Krishna, the gopis, but the speech is so fine, Krishna is attracted to their speech. It's not crude. So women have also learned how to have fine speech. And when somebody has got good memory, it is also a feminine quality. In Kali Yuga, of course, it's very hard to find good memory. I'm sure I will forget what I spoke today when I go home today. So Kali Yuga it is. We are cursed with short memory, bad memory. Manda Sumanda Matayo. Durbhakya. Kali Yuga is the place of Durbhakya. But a devotee, we can aspire to develop this quality. Doesn't mean when you become famous, or you become fortunate, when you have fine speech, that means you become a woman. It doesn't mean that. These qualities are feminine in nature and that attracts Krishna. Krishna is the supreme male. All of us are actually female. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasava Vrityar. That the only supreme Lord is Krishna and everybody else is his servant. So we are Krishna's Prakriti and Krishna is Purusha. So Prakriti is supposed to be endowed with all these qualities. If we find that we don't have these qualities, then we are trying to imitate Krishna. So fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence. What is intelligence? Prabhupada says this is very important. Let me delineate what Prabhupada says. If a person possesses all of them or some of them, he becomes glorious. Right? If a person is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. So, what is fortune? Lord Chaitanya says, fortune means when one becomes a devotee, that is the real fame and real fortune. One has $1,000,000, that is not fame, that is material fame. But to really become famous, one has to become a devotee. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. Lord Ramachandra, he was the most righteous person. So therefore, we today still sing his glory. Right? Maharaj Yudhisthira was such a righteous king. So therefore, today we still sing his glory. We don't sing the glory of Duryodhana, do we? We sing the glories of Maharaj Yudhisthira, the Pandavas. We sing the glories of Ambarish Maharaj. We sing the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, right? Because they were great devotees. I can bet you, 1,000 years from now, nobody will sing the glories of some famous men now. because that is not true glory. Real glory means to become devoted to Lord Hari. Sanskrit is a perfect language and is therefore very glorious. If after studying one can remember a subject matter, he is gifted with good memory. So, if we read the Bhagavad Gita and we can remember the lesson of the Bhagavad Gita, that is, you are gifted with a good memory. It's important to develop this memory. Very important. So it's also an opulence. And the ability not only to read many books on different subject matters, but to understand and apply them is intelligence, medha. So we say somebody who is intelligent, we call them what? Medhavi. The one who possesses intelligence. Or one is very knowledgeable. Knowledgeable we call him Vidwan. But somebody who is knowledgeable may not be a Medhavi. Somebody who is a Vidwan might not be a Medhavi. He might quote many texts, many books, but he may not know how to apply this knowledge. So a devotee has to possess medha, that means intelligence. Because with intelligence we can discriminate what is right and what is wrong. Very important. So we have to make our children intelligent, we have to make society intelligent, because at every moment we are making decisions in our life. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I not do this? Should I refrain from this? At every moment we have to use our intelligence. And Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, by studying the Bhagavad Gita, by having sadhu sangha, our intelligence becomes very honed. It becomes very polished. So therefore it's very important to have sadhu sangha, because by proper sadhu sangha, our intelligence becomes very developed. And then we know what is right, what is wrong. Even when we are on our own, when we ask to do something, we can decide, oh, I won't do this, this is not right. But when you are not intelligent, you will not make a proper decision. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness or steadfastness, dhriti. So dhriti means steadfast. Anything happening around you, you are not shaken. You don't lose your calm. You don't lose your steadiness. That's called dhriti. From the word dhriti, the word dhira comes, one who is steady. Lord Shiva is called Dhira. Right? And when one is fully qualified, yet is humble and gentle, and when one is able to keep his balance both in sorrow and in the ecstasy of joy, he has the opulence called patience, Shama. So sometimes Shama is also translated as forbearance or forgiveness. So a devotee has to be patient. So what is the, actually that's the crest jewel of all the qualities of a Vaishnava, is one has to be tolerant. Sahishnuta. So Lord Chaitanya says, Srinath api suni chena, taro riva sahishnuna, amanina vanadena kirtaniya sada hari. Right? So Vaishnava is endowed with saralata and sahishnuta. A Vaishnava should be also simple. We shouldn't be crooked. Our heart has to be straightforward. We should give up duplicity. And we should be meek and humble. And without being tolerant, we cannot be meek and humble. So all these are wonderful lessons to be learned from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying that this is all a part of his splendor. So we should daily read the Bhagavad Gita. Shankaracharya says that Bhagavad Gita, Chinchita Gita, Ganga, Jalamina, Kanika, Pita. He says, Bhagavad Gita, anybody who reads the Bhagavad Gita, even a little bit of the Bhagavad Gita, anybody who takes a little drop of the Ganges, anybody who has done little worship of Murari, he will never get an interview with Yamaraj. Right, and when somebody dies, what happens? Yamaraj is interviewing you, right? But if you tell him, Yamaji, I have read the Bhagavad Gita, he checks his record. Oh yes, you have. I've drank some Ganges too. He checks his record, yes. And I've done little seva for Murari. Yes, you have done that. Okay, you can go now. This is a fact. So Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada worked very hard to translate the Bhagavad Gita. It's not only because we should give this Bhagavad Gita to others, we should also understand the Bhagavad Gita. That is actually very important. Because if a devotee doesn't live according to the tenets of the Bhagavad Gita, then our preaching will not be effective. Right? If somebody preaches something and behaves in another way, people will not take us seriously. So let's read the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is the primary education, is the foundation. And then we go on to the Bhagavatam. If you don't understand the Bhagavad Gita, it's very difficult to understand the Bhagavatam. So we have to scrutinizingly study the Bhagavad Gita and understand this and then spread this message of the Bhagavad Gita to others. So I'll stop here. Any questions? Any comments? Any chastisement? Please. Questions have to be asked in a forum. You don't have to be shy. We are talking about Krishna Katha. I'm sure some of you have questions, and I might not be able to answer your question. We'll refer that to the enlightened audience. They can answer. I'm sure Krishna speaks through the Vaishnavas. Any questions? Any comments? Yes, Prabhu. So this Prabhu is asking, Krishna is the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Then he's answering, he's asking, how can we understand Krishna is also the source of all the bad things in this world? That's a good question. Right? We'll see, how can Krishna create evil in this world? Anybody can answer that? In absence of Krishna, Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hara Andakar Yada Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Riyadikar. Whenever there is Krishna, it's just like the sun. There's no place for darkness. Right? When the sun is not there, darkness is there. So darkness cannot exist without Krishna. The darkness doesn't have a separate existence. When the sun comes, there's no room for darkness. Whenever there's no sun, then there's darkness. So his question is, how do we understand that Krishna is the generating principle of all that is to be? Krishna also created, you can say, the different vices. Krishna created this material world, and when the living entity turns away from Krishna, this vice, which is Kali's agent, which is also created by Krishna. Krishna is also created Kali and the vices, which is meant to throw the living entities in a world of problems. So we should also say, because this vices eventually leads us to distress, leads us to desperation, leads us to suffering, and then we turn to Krishna. So ultimately everything is auspicious in Krishna's creation. Because why? Everything eventually turns us to Krishna. Like sometimes you see the life of great devotees, some of them are very sinful in the beginning. Like Brihari, the great hunter, right? He killed the animals, left them half dead, suffering, and then he'll go on to kill another animal, leaving it half dead. And Jagai and Madai did so many vices. But all this eventually brought them to a condition of great suffering. And then by the mercy of a devotee, they turned. So you should also see that the vices are also helpful. Because initially when you commit a vice, you might be pleasurable, but ultimately you are shackled by that same vice, like a noose around your neck. Right? Gets tighter and tighter and tighter, comes to a point where you can't breathe. Then you call out, Krishna, Krishna help me. So Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is the source of everything in this world. In the world and the material world and the spiritual world. But there's no room for vices in the spiritual world. Vices are there in this material world to wake us up. You know, to delude us. First, to delude us, and then to get us entangled in the snare of karma, and then through the process of karma, accepting many births, death, ultimately coming to some sense, and then getting some desire to understand what is the purpose of life. And then Krishna sends you a devotee. By His mercy, you wake up. So Krishna's creation is very complex, and Krishna tells Arjuna, don't try to understand the workings of karma. You will not be able to understand. Sometimes we try to understand, oh, how did this happen? How will that happen? How did this happen? And we get caught. Just like somebody falls into a well, you know, you throw them a rope. You say, wait, wait, wait. I want to figure out how I fell into this well. That's not very intelligent. When you fall into the well, somebody throw you a rope, grab the rope, come up. Then later if you want to figure out, you can figure out how you fell. But the most important thing is grab the rope and come up. So Krishna also created evil in this world. The evil is the back of Krishna. So anybody who is facing Krishna and serving in Krishna, there is no opportunity to see the back of Krishna. But if you want to go deliberately to the back of Krishna, then you are snatched by Maya. Then you are tormented by Maya, adhyatmik, adhidevik, adhibhautik. Durga, right? She has got trishul. What is the trishul? Adhyatmik, adhidevik, adhibhautik. She constantly tormenting these living entities. So, we might as well be in front of Krishna as a much more pleasurable proposal than going to the back of Krishna. So hopefully I've understood, I've explained your... Anybody wants to further clarify that point? Further explain that point? Any other questions? Comment? We have to stop by 8:10, is that right? 8:10? Any other questions, comments? So Krishna says, Lord Chaitanya was asked by his devotees, my Lord, what is the position of the living entity? They ask him, my Lord, who are you? He said, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Dasananda. He said that. And we have to eventually feel like a submissive wife in front of our husband. Krishna is our husband. And we have to become like female in front of Krishna. We have this tendency that I am the Lord. That is like a tendency of Purusha. So that tendency is very, very harmful. So therefore Lord Chaitanya says that Ramya Kachi Upasana Brajavadhuva Kalpena. He says that the highest form of worship is that which is rendered by the gopis, the damsels in Braj. Because they gave up everything and accepted Krishna as the only shelter. Just like a very chaste wife will do that, will accept the husband as a shelter. So Krishna, we have to accept that way. Hare Krishna. So, and all these feminine qualities are very helpful in Krishna consciousness. We have to glorify Krishna's fame, we have to glorify the fortune we have, the fortune of the devotee. And with fine speech we can glorify Krishna. With good memory we can preach about Krishna. With intelligence we can help people in Krishna consciousness. With steadfastness you can face the trials and tribulations of life. And with patience you can attract people. When somebody is very patient, becomes very attractive. Right? When somebody is harassed and tormented, then they are very patient, like Prahlad Maharaj was harassed and tormented by Hiranyakashipu. And that made him very attractive in the eyes of the Lord. Because he was patient, he said, the Lord will protect me. I am going through whatever I am going through is because of my karma. Let me be patient, let me not blame the Lord. It is my misfortune that I am going through this. So everything can be used. We have to be patient as devotees. We cannot demand justice from Krishna. The river flows at its own pace. We cannot push the river. So Krishna's justice will come at its own time. And a devotee shouldn't say, Krishna, how come I'm suffering? Why don't you be kind to me? Krishna's justice is perfect. Krishna's timing is perfect. Okay, we'll stop here. Now next is Kirtan. We having Kirtan? Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki,
yes.
The Prabhupada ki,
yes.
Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki,
yes.
Sai Gaura Premanandi.
heart.